Retail sales have plummeted 1.1% last month, which marked the biggest drop since December 2021. The Fed's Beige Book report, which was released, described consumer spending as increasing slightly. High inflation continued to reduce consumers' purchasing power, particularly among low and moderate income households. Sales at auto dealers fell 1.2%. Receipts at service stations tumbled 4.6%. Online retail sales dropped 1.1%. The Fed last year raised its policy rate by 425 basis points from near zero to a 4.25% to 4.50% range. That is the highest since late 2007. A separate report from the Fed showed manufacturing output dropped 1.3% in December. This was the largest decline since February 2021. Most economists expect the economy will slip into a recession by the second half of this year.
As shown in our summary of economic projections, the median projection for real GDP growth stands at just 0.5% this year and next, well below the median estimate of the longer-run normal growth rate. Despite the slowdown in growth, the labor market remains extremely tight, with the unemployment rate near a 50-year low. Job vacancies still very high, and wage growth elevated.
But some hope that moderating inflation could discourage the Fed to stop raising interest rates. U.S. inflation rate is at 6.45% compared to 7.11% last month and 7.04% last year. This is higher than the long-term average of 3.27%.
When it comes to the U.S. economy, given its size first, then its integration with the world financial system, it is obvious that a recession there will impact the entire world. Yet, it would be premature to talk about its impact without looking at the world as a whole. If the U.S. dips into a long period of sluggish growth, emerging markets are going to struggle. Major exporters to the U.S., such as China, Mexico, and Canada, would feel pain if U.S. demand weakened for a prolonged period of time. Meanwhile, the warning signs are there that the U.S. can't avoid a recession because the global economy is not doing that well either. The World Bank has warned global economy could tip into recession in 2023. It has slashed its 2023 growth forecasts to levels teetering on the brink of recession for many countries. It cited the impact of central bank rate hikes to tame inflation as the reason, along with the Ukraine conflict. In its previous Global Economic Prospects report in June 2022, the bank had forecast 2023 global growth at 3%. Another world financial institution, the IMF, has also forecast a global recession, but the forecast was gloomier and more dire than other projections. It said not only would half of the European Union be in a recession, one-third of the world would face recession in 2023. It said that the main engines of global growth, the United States, Europe, and China, are experiencing weakened activity. This graph points to the growth or lack of it by these countries that accumulate the most sales and are the engines of world growth. The U.S. stood at 0.5%, the euro area at no growth, flat, and China's growth to be 4.4%. The previous world growth is also cited here to put things into perspective. The International Monetary Fund also said that a severe fragmentation of the global economy could reduce global economic output by up to 7% after decades of increasing economic integration. It added that the losses could reach 8 to 12% in some countries if technology is also decoupled. And finally, to round off our dismal and gloomy outlook, there is another factor that poses the biggest threat or risk for the world, as if our previous facts were not enough. A World Economic Forum survey of global risk specialists found that failure to tackle climate change and environmental degradation dominate the ranking of top risks facing the planet over the next decade. It concludes that current-day challenges, including the rising cost of living, persistent energy and food supply crunches, and heavy national debts, threaten to thwart the collective will and cooperation needed to address such problems. Okay, that's the end of this segment of the program.
We've reached the end of the program, so after all of this, is the U.S. in a recession or not? Well, as of Monday, January 23, Reuters reported that U.S. manufacturers probably entered a recession in the fourth quarter of 2022. But when you have massive layoffs happening, like in the tech sector that we mentioned before, rising interest rates, which, slows down purchasing from homes to essential items, with stock markets losing ground after disappointing sales records that they had, U.S. data on corporate earnings, that all points to the fact that the U.S. will be in a recession, if it's not already, for the year 2023. So the recession will be there. Thanks so much for tuning in to this edition of Economic Divide. It was great having you with us. I hope you enjoyed it. From Yikovi Tahoe and the team, it's goodbye until the next Economic Divide.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll try to have a look at the commentary of chapter Shu'ara, the 26th chapter of the Holy Quran. We'll be back after you listen to the verses we're going to discuss in this episode. Dear listeners, now let's listen to 151st and 2nd verses of chapter Shu'ara.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
ولا تطيعوا أمر المسرفين
And do not obey the order of the transgressors
الذين يفسدون في الأرض ولا يصلحون
Who cause corruption in the land and do not amend
Dear listeners, in continuation of what their prophet, Prophet Saleh, was telling these people after that he criticized them, he says, وَلَا تُتِعُوا أَمْرَ الْمُسْرِفِينَ Do not obey the bidding of the extravagant. And he goes on, الذين يفسدون في الأرض ولا يصلحون. Those who make mischief in the earth and amend not. The point that we understood from these two verses is that the one who is extravagant is not qualified to be a leader. You should not follow him. And it is our responsibility as your prophets to warn you about the importance and the destruction of extravagance. Another point, you cannot expect your society and your nation to be improving, to be correcting. You cannot expect correction and rectification of your problems from these upper-class extravagant people. They try to justify their own actions by saying that we are amending, we are reforming. إذا قيل لهم لا تفسدوا في الأرض قالوا إنما نحن مسلحون. They say we are only reformers, but the Holy Quran says, أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْمُفْسِدُونَ. These are exactly those who are causing mischief in the earth. So, according to what we said up to now, the relation between extravagance and corruption is made manifest. Because in a system that everything is in its place and everything is working correctly, any kind of exceeding the limits, exceeding the laws and limits, causes corruption and destruction. And so the origin of corruption is extravagance, and the consequence of extravagance is mischief. So this is the relation between extravagance and corruption. This is why the Holy Quran says and introduces musrifin as مفسدين الذين يفسدون في الأرض. على مر الزمان تألقا وأضاء للدنيا طريقا.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran
by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom.
According to the statement of Allama Tabatabai in Al-Mizan, the world of existence is holy order because it is righteousness, it is benefit, and nothing else. Even with the contrast which may sometimes be seen in its parts, it contains so much agreement. This system is moving towards some righteous aims, and this system arranges a particular path for each of its parts. Now, if one of these parts were to deviate from its orbit and paves the path of corruption, there will arise a conflict between this part and the other parts of this world which are moving in their own paths and directions. If this extravagant part can be returned to its main orbit, the better, Otherwise, they will destroy it so that the system can continue its own way, can move forward to its own perfection. If he goes forth according to his nature and be harmonious with the system of creation, he will attain the prosperous aim that has been determined for him. But if he exceeds the limits, if he steps in the path of corruption and mischief in the earth, the human being, at first Allah warns him by punishing him with grievous and painful retributions. So, the man is a part of this world of existence, and he is not an exception from this general law. The Almighty Allah tries to warn him by punishing him with grievous and painful events, as it is seen in chapter Rum, where it says, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. Corruption has appeared in the land and the sea on account of what the hands of men have wrought. We will continue discussing this issue and elaborate on that later on in the next episode. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar.
a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now let's listen to the speech of Sheikh Jafar Jafar.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We've been talking about the heart, and we said that in the month of Rajab, inshallah, we're going to be looking at the study of qalb in Islam, the heart, and in particular how to revive it, right? And we started with this tradition from our fifth Imam Al-Baqir alayhi afdalu salatu wassalam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad, where he says al-qulubu thalatha. There are three types of hearts, he says. Qalbun mankus, a heart that is upside down, reversed. He says, لا يعصر على شيء من الخير. He says, no, nothing good is absorbed by this heart. Yeah? It is just upside down. It can't absorb anything. And then he says, وَقَلْبٌ فِيهِ نُكْتَةٌ سَوْدَى. A heart which has a dark spot in it. فَالْخَيْرُ وَالشَّرُّهُ فِيهِ يَعْتَلِجَانِ. He says that good, that truth and falsehood wage war in this heart. And whoever is successful in the end, that is how the heart will become, either mankus or the last way. And then the third one, he says, وَقَلْبٌ مَفْتُوحٌ, a heart which is open. Yeah? And in this heart, he says, فِيهِ مِصْبَاحٌ. He says, in this heart, there is a light. Yeah? Well, what type? An illuminated light. يَزْهَرُ. Yeah? فَلَا يُطْفَأَ نُورُهُ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. And the light of this heart will not extinguish until the day of judgment. وَفِيهِ وَهُوَ قَلْبُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. It is the heart of a believer, this heart. You know, and so our goal in our lives is to end up with a heart which is illuminated, the heart of a mu'min. And what a better way to understand what a heart of a believer looks like than to look at the heart of the King of Believers. Yeah? That to look at the heart of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And so today, inshallah, we're going to be looking at just different aspects of what it takes to be a believer's heart. Yeah, what are the components that are needed? What are the attractions that we have? And again, when we're looking at the heart of someone like our first Imam alayhi salam, whatever we're going to be talking about today is not an exhaustive list. It's impossible, you know. There are so many dimensions to the hearts of our first Imam alayhi salam that we can look at the faith that he had in God. We can look at that being translated into his God consciousness, right? Being the Imam al-Muttaqin. We can look at his detachment from dunya, and we can go on and on. But I want to just look at some very practical things that you and I can apply in our lives. That if we work on these things, inshallah, maybe we can get some of that illumination from the light of our Imam so that our hearts can become illuminated. The first area that I think is really important that when we look at the life of the Imam alayhi salam is that the Imam's heart took pride in working hard for his family. Yeah, now, I know that sounds simple, right? Alhamdulillah, you know, I think that all of us work hard for our families. This is why we leave the house early in the morning and we come back late at night. Sometimes we need both of our spouses to work. Sometimes if there's one spouse taking care of the house's needs, no one doesn't work hard, right? No one doesn't work hard. But what's amazing is that when you look at the heart of the Imam and what he teaches us in particular, he teaches us that no one should, that the person themselves will be responsible and judged for how well they took care of their family's needs. Yeah, I think this is an important point, okay? Just stay with me on this. We all work hard. And in that working hard, we find that sometimes our ability to care for the nurturing of our family is not looked into as detailed as it should. Yeah? Because if I'm out all day working, my kids are in school 8 hours a day, they come back, maybe they have external exercises or whatever it is, we sign them up for different things. Sometimes we may need a nanny to look after us. And none of these things are wrong, right? Because this is, Allah has given us these abilities, Allah has given us these resources. What the Imam alayhi salam is basically trying to teach us, and I think this is a really valuable point, that no matter how busy we are with halal rizq, we're not even talking about something shady, just to live in this world in a halal way, the responsibility for how our children turn out will not fall on anyone else but the parents themselves. Yeah, this is what the Imam teaches us. You know, we have to understand this. You know, it said once the Imam alayhi salam went to the market in Kufa and he purchased a bag of dates. And فَحَمَلَهُ فِي طَرَفِ رِدَائِهِ, like he held it in the side of his abba. Maybe not to show off, maybe there were poor people. I think there's adab in all of these things that the Imam obviously does, right? But he carried it, but the people saw that the Imam alayhi salam was carrying something heavy, and so they rushed to him. And they said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, nahnu nahmiluhu. We will carry this for you. Please allow us to carry this for you. And this is what he replies back. You know, he says, Rabbul Iyal ahakku bihamlihi. He says, the one who is the Rabb of the family, the one who is in charge of the family, has the most right and is needful to carry this themselves. Yeah? You can't pass the buck on to someone else, right? Today, we send our kids to school for education. We may send our kids to madrasa for Islamic education. We may bring them here. But the nurturing of the child requires constant effort, requires constant nourishment, requires constant looking after. And even though I may have others who are helping me, and I need to have others who are helping me because of the lifestyle, fine. But the others will not be held accountable or judged except for the person themselves. Yeah? And this is something that we learn from the Imam. The importance of not only working hard for the physical provisions of the family, but the spiritual provision of the family is also going to be judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how well we did. And there is no one more responsible for this than the heads of the family themselves. So that's the first lesson. And again, like I know it's very simple, but it's something that I think we forget sometimes. How many times, right, have we had this question as madrasa teachers, that the mosque, the madrasa is not providing enough for my child. My child still doesn't know how to read Quran. They come to mosque. Mosque programs are boring. We've talked about this many times. Yeah, that man, this is an hour and a half, 2 hour program that comes about once a week. We've sat through worse and more boring things than this before. Yeah, but there is a certain ruhani here. There's a certain spirituality here. There's a certain nourishment that our souls are getting that we may not understand because our mind and bodies are only equipped with physical nourishment. But there is a spiritual nourishment that is taking place here that cannot be duplicated with anything else. And the one responsible to bring our children and our families to this are the heads of the family, right? And so we are going to be judged by this.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Matin. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمن صلى
in the limelight.
The capital cities of European countries have been paralyzed by anti-government strikes and protests since the start of 2023. These strikes and protests still continue as European workers demand higher pay and better working conditions. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. Kahan International wrote in this regard, several sectors across Europe have been impacted by strikes as workers demand higher pay and better working conditions. Around 300 flights were cancelled at the Berlin Brandenburg Airport as workers went on a strike recently, the airport has announced. Those flights would have transported some 35,000 passengers. Affected passengers are asked to contact their airline for information on rebooking and alternative travel options, the airport added in a statement. Employees in security, ground handling services, and the company running the airport were striking over a pay dispute. The airport opened in 2020 after significant delays and construction problems. Berlin-Brandenburg Airport continues to struggle financially with a lot of debt, but is working on becoming financially independent, a spokesperson said. According to the local German news agency, postal workers also in Germany have extended their strike to January 28 in an ongoing conflict over wages. Following a walkout that saw 6,000 postal workers withdraw their labor, the Union Verdi has called on employees in Deutsche Post letter and parcel division to continue the strike. The latest round of warning strikes was called by Union Verdi after pay negotiations between Deutsche Post and its employees ground to a halt. The workers' side is demanding 15% more pay for approximately 160,000 pay scale employees in the Post and Parcel Germany sector, a figure that Deutsche Post says is far too high. The move followed 3 days of warning strikes last week in which an estimated 30,000 postal workers took part. 1 million parcels and 3 million letters went undelivered across the country over the course of the walkout. Responding to the news of the recent strike, a spokesperson for Deutsche Post said Verdi's move was hard to understand since the company had planned to make an offer to its workforce on February 8. He added these strikes are unnecessary because in the end they are only to the detriment of our customers. Along with subsidiary DHL, Deutsche Post is one of the largest courier companies in the world and represents the majority of Germany's postal service. Originally state-owned, it was privatized in late 90s, but the German government still maintains a stake in the company's stock. Workers at an Amazon warehouse in Coventry became the first in the UK to go on a strike over the company's low pay. The workers voted in mid-December to go on a strike. The fact that they are being forced to go on a strike to win a decent rate of pay from one of the world's most valuable companies should be a badge of shame for Amazon, said GMB senior organizer Amanda Gearing in a press release when the vote happened. A spokesperson for GMB Union said the workers make £10.50 as a base rate per hour, but the workers are asking for £15. Around 300 workers went on a strike recently at the Amazon warehouse in the UK. Also, Italy's petrol station operators have been on strike across the country since Tuesday evening, January 25th, although self-service stations remain open. The action is taking place on both motorways and local routes. Unions, however, are divided on how long the strike will last. Some operators will continue their strike, while others will end it. The main reason for the strike is the obligation for operators to display a panel showing the regional average fuel price. Unions say the government's measure is accusing operators of speculating on gas prices at the expense of the consumers. Despite the strike, however, Italian law requires that at least 50% of stations in urban areas remain open. On motorways, there should be at least one station operating every 100 kilometers. The leaders of France's eight biggest unions were holding a press conference in Paris over the government's controversial pension reform recently, which aims to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64. According to a poll conducted in January by IFOP, the reform is opposed by 68% of French people. The proposal has already triggered fierce protest in France, with opposition parties arguing the retirement age should be reduced instead. Last week, over 1 million people took to the streets against the planned overhaul. In Paris, police clashed with protesters, with doctors having to amputate the body parts of a young man after he was clubbed in the region by a police officer.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. This is IRIB English Radio. You are listening to The Viewpoint. I'm Beta, the host of today's episodes, and today with me I have two dear guests, experts of today's episode. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Brother, and assalamu alaikum, brother Muhammad.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you very much for having me once again.
Yeah, it's a pleasure for me to have you here with me. So, I'm a woman here, and you both are from the opposite gender, so we're going to have a lot of problems with this discussion with each other, but the thing I'm going to tell you is that the leader of the Islamic Revolutionary, I have a quote that tells the main responsibility of a woman is household chores, you know, and actually, it sounds like bitter for me to tell me that, okay, you are a girl, and because you are a girl, you have to wash the dishes at home.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I think let me take the first step in correcting the sentence you related from the leader of the Islamic Revolution.
Yeah.
He didn't say household chores. He says homemaker. There is a difference. Household chores, both the man and the woman, are required to fulfill their household chores. Like the man needs to, for example, Islamically speaking, needs to provide for the family when it comes to financial and such cases. The woman, of course, at the same time needs to provide for her children, give her care and stuff. Taking out the garbage, again, it's the man's duty. That's also a household chore. So really the thing that he mentions, that he refers to, is homemaker.
Yeah, thank you.
One of the main responsibilities, or I should say the main responsibility of a woman, is to be a homemaker. But does that mean that he is denying that a woman should not be a doctor, should not be a driver, should not be any other, you know, profession that might be respectable in society?
Of course we can have both. Yeah, your brother, Ali.
When we are talking about the duties of a woman in the society and in her own life, it does not mean that we are going to to stop her from being a successful person and entity in the society. No, she can be a successful person and at the same time be a good housekeeper. But being a housewife, a successful housewife, at the same time, for example, like you being a successful physician, it does not necessarily mean that you have to do all the chores in the house. No, you can manage them, for example, in the best way possible. You can divide them between you and your husband. When we are insisting on the concept that, for example, the first and foremost duty of a lady is to be a housewife, it's a matter of upbringing of a human being. Yeah. This is very important, which actually guarantees the survival of generation.
You know, this is really nice to hear all these things from you, but the thing is, these kind of mindset is not practical in real world. For example, I'm not a supporter of feminism, or I'm not feminist at all, but the thing is, for example, there are some, I don't know, photos or cartoons that, for example, we see that the lady at home is, reading a book, and the man is washing the dishes, and the people like you who claim, not you, I'm talking about who claims that, yes, this is not imperfection, this is also perfection, it depends on you and so on, will humiliate this image.
No. What is the humiliation of this? We have so many... you see, the thing, the word, the sentence we narrated from the leader of the Islamic Revolution is that the first priority, meaning what the main goal of a woman should be, to take care of the family. Right?
Why should it be like that?
Then who else would take care of the family?
No, I'm not going to make who should bring the family to protect it.
No, she believes that she wants to be something exceptional, and she wants to choose another way in her life. So, for example, sacrifice herself to reach to some goals and to, inshallah, give a good service to humanity. Okay, right? So if this duty has been put on you by a society, and or you have decided for yourself, it has to be respected and you can do it. But it has no contradiction with having a common life. So why should we, for example, nullify the other side? So we can say, okay, since this great duty has been put on me, then I can manage it while even I have, for example, come alive, and even I can give birth to a child and to reach to the purpose that has been defined for us as, for example, duty-bound people. In case you want to live like a duty-bound person, for example, that cares for Islam and Islamic values. Because Islam tells us that this is your first and foremost duty, that you have to give, survival to the generation, right?
Yeah.
So this is something it doesn't actually have any contradiction with what you have chosen. Sometimes if you want to sacrifice yourself, I think if you're going to choose between two, then why shouldn't we choose, for example, from something that the engineer who engineered us and asked us to do? So why shouldn't we sacrifice ourselves for that perfect goal? So in case you want to prioritize between the goals, I think this is something that you yourself can decide on that. Yeah. And you are free, and let me assure you that you can go ahead and with what you have chosen for yourself. But be sure that it doesn't have anything to do with your common life and to being a housewife.
You know, but the thing
it doesn't mean that, for example, if you're a housewife, it doesn't mean that your husband is not going to support and help you while you're at home.
Of course.
So that's it.
But the problem is that, for example, if
we have seen, even some noblest that you said this is the ultimate thing that you are going to reach. You have seen some. Normally, is that they were ladies and they had some kids. And so I have many cases in mind, but I just forgot their names. So they had a successful life, at the same time, a scholarly life.
Yeah, exactly.
But they had some kids, and they were living a good and happy life.
A
This is the part of a speech of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, on March 19, 2017. Fatimatu Zahra, God's greetings be upon her, was an Islamic woman. A woman at the highest level of Islamic standards and at the level of a leader. But the same woman who could have been a prophet in terms of spirituality and virtue used to carry out her motherly and wifely duties, and she used to do the housework. These things should be understood. What should one say to these ignorant and deceived individuals? They copy the statements that Westerners make. They should not belittle housework so much. Women's housework means cultivating individuals and producing the best and loftiest product of the universe, that is, humanity. Housework means this, but today our society needs to know what being a mother and a homemaker means. It needs to know what being an excellent homemaker means. With that position and with that status and greatness, Hazrat Fatimatu Zahra was a homemaker. This is not a source of humiliation for her. With that greatness, she cannot be humiliated. Can this greatness be belittled? So her greatness is preserved, but one of the aspects and duties of that greatness was being a spouse, a mother, and a homemaker. We should look at these concepts with such an outlook.
But the thing is, I don't know how the life of her, for example, would be, but just you have to think in this way, that this person is not that stupid to not think about the consequences of his actions, her actions, you know?
Who said that this person is stupid?
No, I'm not talking about stupidity, but most of the people are like, okay, you don't consider the future, or you are too ambitious, and it's because of your age. And it really bothers me. Mm-hmm. Because... you know, I'm not that kind of person.
You can persuade anyone that says tells you such a thing. You can persuade him or her. Tell them, no, I have been thinking on all the consequences of the decision that I made.
Yeah, I prefer not to waste my time on that sort of thing.
Let me
elaborate.
So this is the cyberspace. You don't want to even talk to the people. Those whom you care for, at least. Try to persuade them.
Yeah, let me elaborate on this matter of choosing your responsibility. Mm-hmm. You know, that's I think the biggest issue that our youths are having at this stage in their life, because it's youth. It's a stage when their you know, mindset is now developing, mm-hmm. and they're starting to make choices. Yeah. And then they want to say, okay, I want to become this, I don't want to become that. I want to become this and that. Now, what is the deciding factor between so many choices? Why do you become a physician and not, for example, a surgeon? Why a surgeon, not, for example, a driver? All of these different options you have, but why do you choose for that one specific, you know, it all boils down to how you choose your responsibility. And many people, and unfortunately what happens is they say, oh, I like doing this. I'm so ambitious about this.
Yeah.
I enjoyed doing it once, right? Yeah. Now, does that really mean that you should make the purpose and responsibility of your life because you enjoyed doing it once? I'm not saying that no one should become a doctor. The thing is, when you're choosing a responsibility, when you're moving towards, you know, something that is, you know, very that affects your life in long term, then you should be very careful as to what you're choosing, and you should be very sensitive that what you're choosing should not be bad for you in the future life. What happens many a times, you see people, they go for engineering because, oh, it's my passion. I've seen engineers, they're so good and stuff. But then all of a sudden, they end up becoming a taxi driver after finishing their entire education in their university life. Yeah. Not because they don't have a job, because they don't like engineering anymore. That one chemistry that they got from, you know, that's very important, we understand. And so we set the goals of life not based on the experiences and that happiness that we found previously, but exactly what God wants from us.
Let's take some examples from our life. There were some goals for us, let's say 10 years ago, that there are no more goals. Yeah. Because we have changed. I mean, we have actually matured in our lives.
Exactly. Look,
because, I mean, there are some goals that we, even if we think about them, that sometime it was an important goal for us, it might even ridicule ourselves, I mean, from what we have been thinking before.
Yeah.
You see? So this is very important for you now at this time. Maybe 10 or 2, 3 or 10 years later, let's see how childish I was thinking.
Yeah, whether exactly.
I had such a thing in my mind.
I don't deny that.
Right? So let's have all these things in mind and a part of our mind, then decide correctly, inshallah.
Yeah, thank you. And the thing I want to tell you is that one of the things that most of the people believe in that is, for example, when you go for, I don't know, outside works, like, I don't know, being a physician or something, it means that you are not a woman anymore. I mean, being a woman and having woman-featured emotional personality that most of the women of the world have, they think that it will affect them. But, you know, in this area, I have to tell you that I do not agree with that. I'm a woman and I have my features. I'm delicate. I have emotion. I'm not emotional. And I think the outside work doesn't affect that. What do you think?
If the outside work is actually relevant to your lifestyle and actually it's a kind of service like what a physician is doing, is giving service to the people like you, for example, to the ladies, why should it actually be violating the other rights of yours? I mean, the other. I think
features,
it's exactly in the same way that your own characteristics.
Yeah,
are.
You're giving this service, is beautiful.
And it
answer.
Was something in the course of history. We have seen too many ladies that have been actually giving services to the diseased and to the ill people, right? So it's a great service. But what is destroying actually is that you dedicate too much time and allocate time which is more than necessity.
Yeah.
More than necessary to this job is something that, yes, it will change everything.
It's so both for male and female. It's not specific
it
to
doesn't, because, you know, yeah, based exactly. on Islamic teachings, we have been told that divide your time in a daily basis in 2, 3, or some say in 4 parts. So if you actually observe that timing, it would be okay for you and for us and for everyone in the society.
Yeah.
Yeah. A part of your time for your job, a part of time for your family, a part of time for your actually enjoyment and leisure time.
So if you divide
it, like, this is a wisdom. I mean, there is a wisdom behind it.
Exactly.
This is not something that came from, let's say, from the skies.
Random
yeah.
world, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not only just the time, the value you give to the different aspects of your life. The same way you value your education and your future life, you should also value your family. You should also value the common life that you're going to have with your partner, inshallah, very soon in the future, right? All of this needs to be, you know, considered not only in your time management, but also in terms of quality of your time. Yeah. How do you spend your time in education? Also spend that same quality of time in your family, with your family as well. The same way you have struggles in your education, we all go through the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. We in education, we have some topics that are more difficult, some topics that are more easier, some topics that are completely, you know, foreign for us. But then likewise in the family affairs, sometimes we go through some chores or some tasks in the house. Some kids we might have that are extremely difficult to deal with. Mm-hmm. Some kids that are easier to deal with. Some kids that bring really happiness. Sometimes
exactly.
you become sad about those kids.
If you manage your time wisely and you, for example, there would be no problem, inshallah, in future. But if you actually dedicate, instead of, for example, 1/3 of your time to your job, you dedicate 2/3 or even the whole day of yours to your job and studies, so it will affect your life. It will affect your tranquility. So it's based on us. And it will show its consequences in your life. I have seen many cases that due to the, let's say, allocation of too much time to some other issues, for example, they did not have time to be with the family, but they became bad-tempered while they are at home because, I mean, they are stressful. So if we try to be wise and in distributing our time between the time gaps that we have been ordered, I think everything would be in its order.
Thank
so no
you.
Worries for you to choose your profession. And,
yeah.
Inshallah, and I wish you success.
Thank you for your beautiful dua. Thank you for being here with me. Yeah. It was a pleasure. And thank you, dear listeners, for listening to us. It was all the time we had for today's episode. I wish you farewell. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Show that you're the everyone will say, please save me, except Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها لنا يوم القيامة. أمتي أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها أنا لها.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kHz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except him, and he has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We are looking at the human traits which are mentioned in the Quran, that if I and you indulge into them and adopt them as part of our personality or part of our soul package, then we will end up harming ourselves first